Schwanny, where's your Super Bowl excitement?
Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl LIX today.
Roman numerals.
It's LIX.
That would be 59 to you and me.
Why do they still use Roman numerals, Max?
Well, they think it makes it a little more special. You know, it draws attention to the NFL.
It has a classic resonance to it.
Didn't the Romans even drop Roman numerals?
Yeah, but don't tell Roger Goodell that. He doesn't need to know that.
XXI.
No, it's LIX.
LIX, whatever.
Describes what we're all going to do. We're going to all do the cheese dip. We're going to lick the bottom of the bowl.
Hey, I don't remember my Roman numerals. I know L is 50.
Yep.
Is O anything?
I don't think so.
I don't think it is.
I'm just wondering if LOL means anything.
The time is now IX VIII.
Yeah, it's 1 minus 10, right? Because that's how they do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the I is before
the
X, it's 9. If it's after the X, it's 11.
Except like a neighbor and way, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, I didn't think it was possible that I understand Schwanny even less than I usually do. It's a swinging sound to start today's show, isn't it? The great Al Hurt and his song Java.
From what album?
Oh, my. Don't remember.
It was called Honey in the Horn.
That sounds disgusting. That sounds like a sticky mess.
Oh, he had several albums out with that name. Horn of Plenty was another one. Cotton Candy was a hit.
From New Orleans, wasn't he?
Yes. He and Pete Fountain, the clarinet player, teamed up and made a couple albums together. Dixieland jazz type of stuff. It was really fun.
Dean, why are you starting today's show with Al Hurt and Java? Is the question.
Well, the New Orleans connection, obviously.
Well, there's that. But he was the very first Super Bowl halftime show.
Wow.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He was the Kendrick Lamar of his day.
1967, 68?
67.
That's correct.
He, along with the University of Arizona Symphonic Marching Band,
Where's the entertainment?
Yeah, I couldn't find any music from them.
That was the Super Bowl with just the one Roman numeral in it.
Correct. It was the original, the OG.
Super Bowl X?
No. Super Bowl I.
Super Bowl I.
And then it was II.
They probably didn't even have a number on the first one.
It was just the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because they didn't know. Was it even called the Super Bowl?
I believe it was.
Wasn't it called like the NFL or the AFC-NFC championship or something like
that? You know, I think that there's a story, and I can't remember who. I think it might be Lamar Hunt, the original owner of the Dallas Texans, who became the Kansas City Chiefs, wanted to make it sound like it was the biggest event that they could ever possibly have, and that's why they called it the Super Bowl.
If I ever change my name, by the way, it's going to be to Lamar Hunt.
Cool. Lamar Hunt that's Richards.
A cool name.
Yeah.
Lamar Hunt Sunday
Lamar Hunt,
morning.
He's the halftime entertainment, right?
Yeah. That would be Kendrick.
Kendrick Lamar Hunt.
Okay.
The hyphenated name.
I'm sorry.
Al Hurt, first Super Bowl halftime show ever, along with the High Steppers, Drill Team, and Flag Girls.
Hmm.
Hubba hubba. Among the songs performed at that first halftime show, because I know you're all dying to learn, The Sound of Music.
Hmm.
Way Down Yonder in New Orleans / When the Saints Go Marching In, Bugler's Holiday, Bury Me Not on the Lone Prairie.
You're kidding.
The William Tell Overture.
Nice.
I'm not making this up. The Liberty Bell March, Marching Along Together, and This Is My Country with the Grambling College Marching Band and USC Chorus.
Cool.
How about that? And the first Super Bowl was held in, do you know, Andy?
That would be in Memorial Coliseum in Los Angeles.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Andy knows stuff.
Of course he does. Yeah, he knows every play of every game ever.
Andy knows stuff.
I try.
You cannot stump this man.
You can.
You cannot.
Me. Yes, you can.
I got a question for Andy.
Okay.
Why is Shawnee wearing an overcoat inside?
Yeah, I came in and I asked him if he wanted to take his coat off and stay a while. He said he got chilly.
I did get chilly.
Is there a reason you look like the Pillsbury Doughboy doing the show?
I did get chilly in here. I am wearing it to keep warm.
Yeah.
And it is getting warmer in here now, so I will remove the jacket.
I understand.
As I see fit.
Sometimes we have what I like to call the 49th and 50th state conditions heating here. Sometimes it's like Alaska.
Sometimes it's like Hawaii.
Sometimes it's like Hawaii. So my studio's cozy warm. So
you're Hawaii today.
I am Hawaii today, yes.
Okay.
I am Hawaii. But there, as you know, because once in a while I am known to complain about things, it's downright cold in here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Much rather have it cold than warm.
Yeah.
In the building.
That's true. You can always put a coat on.
Yeah, you can dress for cold.
Like Shawnee, even though you look ridiculous.
Hey, just a point of clarification when we're talking about the Super Bowl,
In
case people text you. The first four games were actually referred to as the AFL-NFL World Championship games.
What? I knew something.
Yeah. So they went back and after the success of the Super Bowl. So technically, the first Super Bowl game was played in 1971 between the Colts and the Cowboys. The first four were known as Super Bowl I, apparently. But now it's revisionist history, of course. So the Super Bowl I is considered the game between the Packers and the Chiefs in 67.
But the first time that it was called Super Bowl
was January 17th of 1971.
Because people would text that.
Yeah. So just so we can get ourselves out of any
Hey, Dean, jams. You think you know so much on the phone? The first Super Bowl was actually 1971.
Exactly. That's why I went
there
to
you
look,
are with
that's
the
why
voices
I went to look it
again.
That's my annoying texter voice.
I just want you to know.
You're wrong.
You know who did the Super Bowl for 1971? Halftime show?
I don't.
Anita Bryant.
Oh. She wasn't just for breakfast anymore.
Just passed away, didn't she?
She just bought. Yeah. She did.
Did you almost just say she just bought it?
No. She just, I was going to say that she died and passed away. I'm tongue-tied today.
I heard a B sound.
I was tongue-tied.
Okay. So anywho, it's amazing some of the people that have done the Super Bowl halftime show. In 1970, tribute to Mardi Gras. What's up with the New Orleans? Was it? Like strictly a New Orleans thing in the beginning?
Well, it was L.A., Miami, and New Orleans a lot in the very beginning. They didn't play the Superdome wasn't there, so they played at Tulane in their stadium.
That was the first time they played at Tulane was 1970.
Yeah, because the first one was in L.A., and then the next two were in Miami at the Orange Bowl.
That's right. But the Super Bowl halftime show in 1970, Al Hurt was back. Doc Severinsen from The Tonight Show. Lionel Hampton. How about that, Shawnee?
Wow.
And Carol Channing.
Well, here we go with the Carol Channing thing again.
Channing. Carol Channing did the Super Bowl halftime show.
Football is a girl's best friend.
1972, Ella Fitzgerald.
I knew she had done it. You had mentioned this because every Super Bowl we go through the list here, and I know you had mentioned it. 1972. I would love to know what she sang.
Yeah, I'd love to find some recordings of that.
She did "Mac the Knife," according to.
Okay.
With Al Hurt.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, Al Hurt was there that year. The U.S. Marine Corps drill team. And
Carol Channing was back. Hello, Dolly.
Popular demand.
Oh, the knife, babe. It's so nice to have you back where you belong.
You don't get a lot of Hello, Dolly duos on anywhere, really.
That's good.
I'm pretty sure we've got the exclusive on that. Yeah, so anyway, that's we'll go back and remember. I love remembering the halftime shows. I'm over the commercials. Is everyone... Am I alone on this?
Well, you're not. No, because they release them so early now. You can actually... Right. I've seen them already.
I have seen them already. Yeah, I've seen them already.
So why do I need to watch them in the Super Bowl? I've already seen them.
There is no element of surprise anymore.
Right.
So
what is the going rate this year?
$8 million. Yep.
$8 million for 30
for
seconds.
For a 30-second.
Yep.
Okay. I remember when $500,000 seemed like a fortune.
Oh, that's pocket change.
Yeah. It is now.
That's the first 2 seconds.
Yeah.
That's pocket change. But last year, 123.4 million people watched. Doesn't mean they paid attention to your commercial. I wonder if anyone has ever actually done a study or if there's any tangible proof that having a commercial in the Super Bowl equals increased sales on your product.
It's a good question.
You know what I mean? I mean, we can all sit here and go, Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we remember, you know, some of the commercials.
The Clydesdales, yeah.
The Clydesdales. Does that equal increased sales? Because that's what advertising is supposed
to be. You know, if they spend that kind of money, they must get some results on it.
I don't know.
And I would think if you are spending that kind of money, you would have some sort of measurement for it.
I don't know.
I mean, it's worth it to spend the cash, I guess, if you've got it, first of all. And second of all, you know, you talked about how many people are actually getting eyes on it, even if they're really not paying attention. The possibility is there.
Well, I think part of it is the prestige of saying that you have a memorable Super Bowl commercial. That's part of it. But also, you know, doesn't it like sort of like register, even if you don't go out and buy a six-pack of Budweiser after you see the Clydesdales, in your mind, it's like, that's kind of a cool brand. When you're making your choice, doesn't it stick in your mind a little bit that, you know, that's a prestige product because they were in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, to a degree, I would think.
I don't know. Anyone on this show ever been in a Super Bowl commercial? I have.
Yes, you have.
I have.
Oh.
Yes, he was.
Look at me.
With the man with the watch band. And the door falling off the car.
That old car may be worth money.
Oh, were you
baby.
In what, a local run of...
a local, yeah. The Victory back, I don't know, was it like 5 years ago?
Yeah, like 4 or 5 years
ago or something. Victory Auto Wreckers bought a commercial locally, not nationally, locally, during the Super Bowl. I'm sitting watching the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden I hear that old car may be worth money. Like, what?
That's good.
Yeah.
So. Next question. Residuals.
Yeah. I don't know what that word means. as I've mentioned many times, I was paid a daily rate. This is when I first started as an announcer at WGN. This was 1991. One of the very first things I did was that Victory Auto Records commercial. And you get a daily rate. That's how it worked. No residuals. So I got whatever the daily rate was. That poor guy, Bob Zamuda, I think his name was, the watch band guy, who, you know, the door
falls off. Where the door falls off, he pulls the door open.
He was a tow truck driver at Victory Auto Wreckers. I think he got, they pulled him over and said, hey, come here, we need you for a minute. Open that door, it's going to fall off on you. And I think he got like $25.
But they had to, you know, maybe school him a little bit, saying, because after he pulls the door off, he's shaking his head there, true. Standing true. Like, oh,
true. There was some
I've
good acting.
No, yeah, he sold it, yep.
Yeah, there was some good acting. That's why they gave him $25.
And your off-camera narration was synced magnificently.
Thank you. Thank you. I like to thank all the little people for... yeah, isn't that crazy? sitting and watching, and then suddenly you hear your own voice in the Super Bowl broadcast locally. That was something.
We should remind people that people who are watching the game elsewhere throughout the rest of the world didn't see that commercial. Because it was a local spot.
It was local. Yeah, it was right. Just here in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless they were watching online.
Well, that's possible.
Good point.
I don't know.
Good point.
I like to think that my Victory Auto Records commercial is known worldwide in multicultures.
Well, it's definitely nationwide with the old Superstation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like
it would be. That's right.
I like to think that in Korea, South Korea right now, someone's watching TV and they hear that old car, maybe. They ask themselves, what the Victory Auto Records?
Honey, quickly, the door's going to fall off the car.
Look, he shake his head.
Where can I get a watch like that?
You have a watch like that. Yeah, boy. All right, so we'll go back and remember some memorable moments from this is a busy Sunday. This is an exceptionally busy Sunday. We've got the Super Bowl to talk about. And are the Chiefs favored to win right now?
Yeah, by 1 point.
Oh,
well, 1 point.
That's so that could go either way.
They barely won the second game there.
Yeah, it was a 2.5 point spread last week. So that means a lot of people are betting the Eagles right now. So the line came down to one.
Hmm. So if they get a three, is that the first ever football three-peat if they snag it?
Well, it won't be their first ever football NFL three-peat. The Green Bay Packers before the Super Bowl won three-peated twice before it was a Super Bowl. So this will be the first team in the Super Bowl era to win three straight.
Oh, for 50 years.
Yeah.
50, 60 years.
60 years, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll cover that angle of it. We'll cover the appetizer portion. To me, that is what I'm looking forward to most, a variety of delightful appetizers.
Oh, that prompts a question.
Yes, sir.
Maybe you'll bring this up when you talk about it, but yes. I am curious as to how your Gyros nachos turned out.
They were fantastic.
I'll bet they were.
A huge hit. It was, how did you say it? Gyros?
No, I said gyros.
Well, that's wrong, too.
That's worse.
The gyros.
Gyros. That's what I said.
It's like G-H.
That's what I said. Gyros.
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 I'm just going back to saying gyros.
Gyros. Give me one of them gyros.
I think you need to take your jacket off. Something's going on there.
I think you're overheating.
Get him some water.
We have to keep an eye on Schwann. He's like a ball of dough that has been rising for the last 3 hours. It exploded.
The cake on the Three Stooges.
Right. Yes.
It's like the puffy jacket in Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's right. You are George Costanza in the puffy jacket. Don't go into a liquor store. Yeah,
exactly.
So, gyros nachos, basically all the ingredients that you would put in a gyros sandwich, the gyros meat, onion, tomato, cucumber, tzatziki sauce, the whole deal, except on a giant platter. And, oh, man, it was delicious. And, you know, the crew on the TV morning news. Andy knows.
I know. They line up out the door.
Hey, if you stand still for like 5 minutes, they think that you're edible.
Well, that goes along with any radio and TV station.
Yeah.
You put food out, it's gone.
It's gone. Yeah. With the exception of giant platters of paella. It is demolished. So it went real well. I'll go over that later. I've got some more appetizer recipes that you may want to give a try today. You know what I wish I had right now, just in talking about the appetizers?
What?
Big old bowl of Lipton onion soup dip.
Oh, your dip.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some Bugles.
Bugles. Oh, such a blast from the past.
They are such a delicious snack.
Finger food, literally.
Literally, yeah.
You know, I looked for a package for you for your birthday a year or two ago. Found them.
Yeah, yes.
But the reason I had a hard time finding them in the store is because the packaging is very different from 1965.
Yeah, imagine that.
Finally had to have someone point it out to me.
It's right here, sir.
Oh, yes.
You probably couldn't see it through your puffy jacket. It is a Super Bowl report every single week. The far-flung forecast. our weekly compendium of fascinating facts, figures, and more with our charming host, first-string quarterback Dave Schwann.
Thank you very much, Uncle Dean, and good morning, everyone. Get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices. We're staying in the land of Lincoln today. Oh. We're going south, though, far south to Benton, Illinois.
Benton, Illinois.
Benton, Illinois. Population 6,709 in Franklin County. Goes back to well before the Civil War. The village organized in 1841. And, well, we're going to get to the reason why we're mentioning this. But in addition, Benton is the home or birthplace of two people very famous and have some Chicago connections. John Malkovich, the actor.
Oh, yes.
And also Doug Collins, former Bulls coach, was from Benton, Illinois, and the Christopher, Illinois area adjacent to Benton. But today, we mentioned Benton, Illinois, because it was also home for a while to a lady named Louise Harrison. Anybody know Louise Harrison?
I know.
I know you know.
I'm not going to say I don't know.
Louise Harrison happened to be the older sister of George Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
Of Beatles fame.
That's my sister.
My sister. And September of 1963, George Harrison visited Benton and stayed at his sister's house and also visited the VFW in El Dorado, Illinois. Now, I know the word looks like El Dorado. It's pronounced El Dorado locally down there.
And London, and Liverpool, we call it El Dorado.
But George played with a band called the Four Vests at the VFW Hall in El Dorado. Now, this is in September of 1963.
He just joined them on stage?
Joined them on stage. He bought a guitar down there and just said,
What year again?
1963, September of 63.
So this was before Beatlemania.
Before Beatlemania. But, boy, you know, you are so perceptive. Yeah. You are so perceptive because
I'll get up on the stage with the Four Vests.
Well, what stage was George Harrison on 61 years ago today?
Oh, I think I know that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Andy?
That would be somewhere here in the United States of America.
Yes.
Think East.
Shea Stadium.
You're in the right place. In the right city.
Okay. Madison Square Garden.
No.
Think a really big shoe.
Oh, that's right. The Ed Sullivan
Show. Ed Sullivan Show. 61 years ago today.
How about that?
The Beatles played Ed Sullivan, and we haven't been the same. Now, you know what's funny about the house that where Louise Harrison lived in Benton? After she moved out and the house was sold, it was also called the Hard Day's Night Bed and Breakfast.
Well, of course it was.
But Benton, Illinois, who was the home for a while of Louise Harrison, the reason she lived there, by the way, is she married a gentleman who was in the mining business. And coal mining has always been a mainstay in southern Illinois, so they were living there for a while. She passed away, I think, in 2023 in her 90s. But Benton, Illinois, pretty much the same type of weather we're having here today. It's partly sunny and 26.
You don't have a clip of the Ed Sullivan Show?
I know you do.
No, do you?
Do I?
Yeah, a lot of times you throw
in the audio. Oh, I know. No, I was waiting for you to do that.
Oh, okay, then. On this Super Sunday, Dean Richards Sunday morning with our weekend health feature. What's going on to keep you good and healthy? We'll find out from Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Dean. Thanks for having me.
So let's start off with something that I was reading, that we are having a flu surge right now, a second wave of the flu that's running through. And, probably you know two, three people. I'm talking with, the listeners. You probably know two or three people who are hit hard with it. I do. If you look at the statistics, that seems to be what's going on right now, right?
It's been a brutal season, and I think almost a record-setting season. The number of visits to outpatients for flu-like symptoms is off the charts. Clinic folks are saying it's the highest they've seen in two decades. I can tell you this week, according to the CDC, a third of flu tests came back positive. That's a very high number. January of last year, for comparison, it was in the 20s. So we're at a very high rate of disease, and there's some significant impacts. You know, we've had 24 million illnesses in the United States this season. 13,000 people have died. And 57 children. That's equivalent to the city of LaGrange Park just disappearing off the map. Wow. So there's some significant burden. It's out there.
So how do we prevent the flu from being spread? Is it mostly washing your hands, or do we get the masks involved again? What should we be doing?
Yeah, you know, immunization is the number one protection. Right, you wouldn't go into a battle in a war zone without body armor, and the flu vaccine is a big piece of body armor. It's not too late to go and get it, and so I highly recommend looking into that if you haven't already. That being said, masking is a great way to limit illness. The flu spreads in respiratory droplets. And it can spread on surfaces. You know, if you touch a child who's got a runny nose and then you rub your eye, potentially you're inoculating yourself. So hand washing, masking, particularly if you've been sick, maybe you never got tested, which is fine. But if you're having a cough or runny nose or sore throat, not a bad idea. Just throw on a mask and protect people around you.
I'm trying to remember what the rule was. When it came to masking, we went over this a million times at the beginning of COVID, that when you wear a mask, you are protecting others from catching what you've got, not so much protecting yourself, what somebody may be giving you. Is that correct?
It's both. No, I think it's both.
It's both. Okay.
Yeah. When I'm working in the emergency department, you know, the last thing I want to do is come home and get sick. I want my days off to be healthy and enjoyable. So I throw on a mask, and I think it helps, and many of us do. So it certainly can help spread of disease. Many people who even have been vaccinated, there's a higher likelihood that then you'd be a carrier and be asymptomatic, meaning that you're carrying around the virus, you just don't know it. So it's not a terrible idea.
Do we need the K95 masks still? Is that still the greatest line of protection mask-wise? Or are the blue masks that you see everywhere, are those, sufficient?
You know, I still think there's a ton of debate out there about what pathogens are truly protected by the K95. I think it's pretty clear from most of the recent research and talking to some of the infectious disease experts that I know that just the droplet mask should be fine. That's very effective, and it's a cheap, easy way to protect yourself and others.
Okay. Now, we had talked about the neurovirus. That's different than this influenza virus that we're talking about now, right?
Sure. Yeah, the neurovirus affects the gastrointestinal tract. Hand washing is critical. Mask wearing less so. And again, the soap and water as opposed to the hand sanitizer, the alcohol doesn't do anything to it, whereas soap washes it away, doesn't kill it. And so if you want to really kill it on surfaces, bleach, create a weak bleach solution, or get some bleach wipes for those surfaces in your home like countertops and doorknobs.
Okay. I wanted to also ask you about bird flu. That is being attributed to why egg prices are so high, because they're having to destroy so many chickens because of the bird flu.
Right.
Is there a risk of humans getting the bird flu?
So, yes, theoretically, I will tell you that I think experts will have indicated that you really want your eggs cooked all the way through. And for our house, we're not doing any running eggs right now, as much as I love it. I just think it's not worth the risk. The risk is low, but it's not zero. And I would say the same for raw milk. You really want to be drinking pasteurized milk, meaning that it's been cooked, heated to an appropriate temperature before it was bottled, to kill that virus, because it is showing up in dairy milk.
I was surprised to learn that eggs are not pasteurized. I mean, now it's a whole different story with eggs. You know, if you've got $115 to pay for a dozen eggs, that's a whole other thing. They're so ridiculously expensive now. But I was surprised that eggs are not routinely pasteurized. I was looking for specifically pasteurized eggs to use in a recipe that did not require cooking, and I had the hardest time finding those things. And it just seems like, why wouldn't we be pasteurizing everything that's up for human consumption? Just seems like the safer route to take.
Yeah, I assume that there was some lobby involved in that decision making, but I don't know for sure. And I also don't know if it, if it's challenging, it's probably expensive, and it may be, that may be a part of it as well. I've read that less than 3% of all eggs are pasteurized, and they're marked with a P, by the way, when they are. So that's for what it's worth. The USDA website doesn't have a whole lot of information on it, and I'm just not sure. It's a great point.
You can sort of self-pasteurize by, putting eggs in boiling water, bringing them only up to 150 degrees. I think that's what the temperature is. Look it up just to be sure. But it's you bring the eggs up to a certain temperature without beginning to soft boil or hard boil them, and it, in theory, is supposed to destroy any bacteria. So if you're affluent enough to purchase a dozen eggs, that would be the safe way to do it. Somebody at the 708 area code says, because the flu has been so prevalent this year, what would be the biggest contributing factor to that? Why do you think we're having a banner year?
I don't have a good answer for that. And, my instinct is to say that these things go in cycles. COVID has been, still out there, but way less impactful compared to prior years. So someone's got to be the heavyweight. And in some years it's been RSV, and some years it's been COVID, and this year it happens to be flu. That's my best guess. The other thing I can tell you, Dean, is that these viruses like to swap genetic material frequently. I've seen folks, and I mean every day that I work, by frequently, you see folks come in, they're not feeling good, you run a test, and they're sick with multiple viruses. They've got flu and they've got rhinovirus, so they've got COVID and they've got RSV. And so what happens in the body is the viruses will exchange genetic material, and then the machinery that powered one virus is now in the other. And so that may be a piece of it as well.
Well, that may partially answer this next question, which we have multiple comments on our text line of people saying, I got my flu shot and I still got influenza. I still got sick anyway. Does that play into what you were just talking about? How the viruses, kind of morph and change and exchange. So what you thought you were fighting with a vaccine, you're no longer fighting because it went over to another virus.
Well, it's true. And I'll just make the point that vaccines are not meant to prevent 100% illness. Now, they can. But what they're really meant to do is attenuate illness. Excuse me. So that if you are exposed to a virus, let's say the flu, and you have a vaccine, your body is going to more effectively fight it off than if you hadn't been. And you're less prone to spread those viral particles than you might have been. And so rather than infecting 100 people, you might infect 5. And rather than ending up in an intensive care unit with a breathing tube, you ended up going to the primary care clinic and getting some cough medicine. So that's truly the heart of it right there. It lowers the risk of death and severe illness, and it lowers the likelihood that you're going to be a super spreader.
708 area code asks, is it too late now for me to get a flu shot?
Not at all. Not at all. It's still at an extremely high level. We're still in the same strains that we've been vaccinated for in terms of the vaccine target. Go get it. It really is unlikely to hurt, and it can only help.
How do you know when you should seek a medical care if you think you have the flu? Because really, isn't it just a matter of you got to wait it out? Do you need to run to the doctor? The doctor's offices are so busy anyway. If you get this, how do you know when you can't just drink fluids and get rest?
In a child, particularly in a young child, breathing difficulties or rapid breathing would be a red flag to go get help immediately and, in fact, come to the emergency department. We're very good with those types of illnesses. And so if you're, as an adult, if you're short of breath, you can't catch your breath, or you're becoming more short of breath, that's a sign that you need to get looked at. Likewise, significant chest pain, and I'm not talking about little aches and pains, but pain in the center of your chest, or pain that won't go away, or pain that's instigated by activity, that's a good reason to go and get looked at. And now in the older crowd, in grandma, it might be that she's, feeling a little confused or feeling lightheaded when she stands up. That's probably a good reason to go get looked at, because dehydration or other concerns could be a part of it.
Okay, very good. The advice that you normally get is drink plenty of fluids, get as much rest as you possibly can. How much rest is enough rest? I know that I am terribly sleep deprived because of my bizarre schedule. And, you always hear, you must get 8 hours of sleep. I can't even remember the last time I got a full 8 hours of sleep.
Right. Right. Well, I think what we're seeing, there's been a lot of research lately on sleep, and it's still kind of a little bit of a black box, I think, for science. What I know from what I've read in the research, really 7 hours is kind of the cutoff for adults, that really, in most groups of adults that have been looked at, those that are getting less than 7 hours tend to suffer negative side effects. And that can be everything from stress to an increase in cardiovascular disease risk. So it's not small potatoes here. The key that I've seen over and over again is that they're telling you want to have things be consistent. Go to bed around the same time and wake up around the same time. The last piece of it is try and get to bed before 1 a.m. For whatever reason, in terms of light acting on the brain and circadian rhythms, where your body and brain are trying to adjust to day and night, that 1 a.m. mark seems to be the cutoff. And I'm talking about adults. Kids need a lot more sleep. And then when you tie in the illness piece, what I like to say is when you're sick, get as much rest as you feel like you need. Because your body's trying to tell you, hey, I need to take a break and regenerate here.
Yeah. I've tried some of those sleeping aids, and I hate them. The ones that are supposed to knock you out, because you wind up just feeling groggy for days. To me, it makes things worse. People have said that I should use melatonin. Is that a good sleep aid? It's a more natural, right?
It can be. Some folks swear by it, and in some studies it's performed well, but it also can, screw up your REM cycle. I would put a warning out there for children. It's not heavily regulated. It kind of falls into the supplement category of the U.S. Medical market.
Right.
And so you may think you're getting, 1 milligram. I'm just throwing a number out there. I don't know. But you may think you're getting 1 milligram, but it's actually 5 or vice versa. So use caution with kids. With adults, I've seen people who swear by it and other folks who felt like it just made their sleep worse.
Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern Medicine's Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great Super Bowl Sunday, Doc. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Dean. Take care.
You know what I just realized during your newscast?
Yes.
So I hang on every word.
Yes, I know you do. Yeah.
I went out to our little kitchen area.
Yes.
I don't know why the last couple of weeks when I've come in here to do the show, I get hoarse. Oh, I don't know why. I mean, I have water. But for some reason, so I went out to make a nice cup of tea. I thought that would be soothing on my throat.
Sure.
You can't get it just like a normal cup of tea. The tea bags are like fancy schmancy. Earl Grey.
Black tea.
Jasmine green lemon. Tea. Would it kill us to just have some Lipton tea?
Just don't take the nighty-night tea right now, okay?
I'll bring in, I've got Lipton at home. I will Lipton. Bring it in next week
I've
for you.
I've got Lipton at home, too.
All right.
But we clearly stole all this tea from some hotel
somewhere.
And now...
Are you complaining because you couldn't open the tea bag thing to get it?
Was difficult to open. Lipton is much easier.
It's called tearing the paper. Oh, we haven't done a taste test in a while. Hang on.
Oh, nice cup of Joe. Just blowing bubbles again.
Good old coffee.
He stuck his entire face in there and did that, by the way.
Yeah. And not in a cup, by the way. Schwani's actually drinking out of a trough. February 9th, 1964. 61 years ago today. How about that? Does that mean anything to you, Andy, the Beatles on Ed Sullivan?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we without them, there's not a lot of groups that I'd listened to in the 70s and 80s. Yeah. I mean, it certainly set the stage for all of that. We wouldn't have had the movie That Thing You Do either, would we?
Well, that's true. That was a fantastic movie.
I mean, pretty much, I was talking to Schwani about that after his far-flung forecast, and that's kind of the method that that band, The Wonders, followed, but... Yeah, it means a lot to me. It's I'm a big music fan, and I love the Beatles. And
yeah, I wonder if younger generations connect with the Beatles not so much in a nostalgic way that Schwani and I do, but in an historic way of that they paved the way for everyone who followed.
Yeah, it's amazing the legacy that they left behind. British Invasion, I mean, the Rolling Stones, The Who, and other bands that were able to come over because of the success that they had.
Yeah, but that night, though, how about crazy. That night?
Oh, we need to imitate our parents now.
That's not
they were watching, that's, going.
I'll tell you what our parents' reaction was like, what many people's reaction is going to be watching the Super Bowl halftime show
tonight.
What is this?
What in the world?
What is this? That's not music.
I was telling Andy, too, we were talking about That Thing You Do and everything, but you may remember this also, Dean. It was a Sunday night on Ed Sullivan. Monday, they could not keep us quiet in school. We were going crazy.
Everybody was going crazy because of seeing the Beatles. I mean, I can picture us. One small black and white TV.
That's what we had. Yeah.
Mom and dad in a chair, kids on the floor, sprawled out, watching Ed Sullivan, and mesmerized by what we saw. And the very next day in school, everybody was talking about who their favorite Beatle was.
Right. Sure.
What their favorite song was. I was in line at the Woolworth store getting my first Beatles wig. My $1 Beatles wig.
That's awesome.
Did you buy Beatles
gum?
Gum with the cards in it? Yeah. They had like baseball cards.
It was like baseball cards, yeah.
Pictures of the group, pictures of John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Yep.
With the gum in it.
Very much like the baseball card gum with the that little hard piece of gum with the white powder all over.
That's awful. That's it.
I think you'll understand when I
fantastic.
Now I'm trying to think. In my generation, I'm Gen X, and I'm trying to think what kind of a musical event could equal that, which was our kind of Super Bowl. The only thing I can really think of.
Prince, maybe?
Well, I can think of Live Aid.
Prince at the Super Bowl, Live Aid.
Yeah, I mean, Live Aid with Queen performing at Live Aid. That was
right.
Revered as one of the better rock performances of all time.
Yeah.
It's hard to really figure out anything else that could live up to that.
Musical events of the 1980s, I think of...
Michael, we are the world.
Michael Jackson's Michael moon
Jackson
dance.
On that yeah. Motown special.
That's a good point, too.
Where he moon danced for the first time. But are you kidding me? Like this?
Yeah, nothing compared.
We had a big picture mirror in our living room. And my friends and I, four of us, me with the Beatles wig on, stood in front of the window, stood in front of the mirror, pretending we were the Beatles.
That's awesome. Which Beatle were you?
I was Paul.
Okay.
Yeah, it was because I'm left-handed.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And he's the cutest.
Of course.
Yeah. Not proud. Not, you know. It's stupid. How old were we? 9, 10?
I was 7.
Something. I was 9.
I was 7. And then later that year in August, when my birthday rolled around, I got a Beatles record. I got A Hard Day's Night, a 45.
Nice.
Hard Day's Night. The other side was I Should Have Known Better. And the rule was in the house, I could only play it once a day because your mother cannot take all that noise.
All that noise.
You know what else? I tell my friends that, you know, my parents reacted the same way almost every parent reacted in 1964. But by 1970, when they broke up, my parents liked
into transcendental meditation.
Oh, but they liked songs like Michelle or something. Or yeah. Yesterday. You know, they liked those songs.
Yeah.
So that kind of like they came around.
Yeah. Yeah. Good old memories. February 9th, 1964, a day that will live in pop
famously,
music
not infamously, famously.
Famously will live in pop music history forever. Coming up, we've got our Week in Theater segment, and Tony Award winner Jesse Mueller joins us to talk about a special event that's coming up. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Coming up later on in the show, Improv King Wayne Brady joins us to talk about what he's going to be doing Super Bowl Sunday. Got lots of good things planned today, but I wanted to take a minute to talk about something kind of personal that maybe isn't for you. If you are a fan of the dance community in Chicago, you may have heard me talking about the benefit called Dance for Life that started in 1991. And for the first 20 years of Dance for Life, I hosted this event that featured between 6 and 8 of Chicago's best dance companies, all donating a performance. All of these dance companies, truly the cream of the dance community crop, all on one stage for one performance. The event still goes on. But for the first 20 years, I hosted the event. And for the 20-plus years, the world-renowned choreographer Randy Duncan choreographed a combined company grand finale every year. Members from all the different dance companies would participate in a spectacular grand finale for this event, all put together by Randy Duncan, who is truly world renowned for his work with different dance companies everywhere around the globe. Here in Chicago, the Joffrey Ballet, Hubbard Street Dance, the Goodman Theater. He has taught classes everywhere around the world, currently is a teacher at the Chicago Academy for the Arts here in Chicago. Over these years, Randy has become a very good friend and has come to my attention this week that Randy is having a bit of a health crisis. He has been managing chronic kidney disease and now is in immediate need of a kidney transplant. A bit of a shock to everyone, but Randy is with us on the phone line right now. Good morning, Randy, and thank you for coming on to talk about this. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Dane. I am doing pretty good today. You know, it's with this disease, it slows you down a little bit, but I'm doing good. Thank you so much for that.
Now, first of all, when I was, you know, just going over my notes on this, I said, I've known him how long? how did all those years go by so fast?
I know. And you were absolutely wonderful at hosting Dance for Life. We're always looking forward to seeing you on stage as well.
I always look forward to your grand finale and how you took, you know, so many elements and weaved them together. You know, really showing your talent and your skill. And you're caring. I mean, that's you know, been, I think, part of this big story is that you have cared for so many, both as a choreographer, as a teacher. You have spent your life and your career caring about and teaching and nurturing others. And now we hope that, you know, somebody will step forward and care and help you with this. You've actually been dealing with this kidney disease for quite some time, correct?
I have. You know, when it first started, I had no idea that I had kidney disease. And actually, it's been a few years. My primary physician, he's the one that led me to a specialist and said, I think you need to go and see a nephrologist, at which they found that my kidneys were not functioning at 100%. Matter of fact, they were pretty low when I got to him. So they started me on what they normally start folks who have kidney issues, and that was metformin. And that simply was not working for me. So, you know, we waited a little while, and then he said, I think, Randy, we need to go on dialysis. So I started that first at a home dialysis, and that wasn't working. So a couple of months ago, we just started with the hemodialysis. So I'm going in every week to get my blood cleaned and come out and try to have some energy to continue the day. Yeah. But, you know, it slows me down a little bit, but I'm doing well. And by the way, I just wanted a shout out before I forget to all the students there at the Chicago Academy for the Arts and the parents who have been so, so supportive, and certainly the dance faculty and the faculty in, at large. I just want to say, you know, thank you so much for that.
Yeah, well, you are a pretty beloved person in the Chicago area, that's for sure. And now in need of a living donor. Is that, I understand this correct?
Yeah. That is correct. Yeah.
Explain what are the next steps for you?
Well, you know, we are trying to find a living donor because they say that that is the best, to get. And so I'm out there now, you know, pushing and hoping that someone will come forward. I think there's been a couple of folks already that I've told who are going to see if they qualify for a donation. You know, you have to be the same blood type and all of that stuff. You got to go through a certain amount of tests before you can actually say, okay, I think that I might be a match or a swap or something there. So, you know, there's a number that they can get in touch with so they can find more information about that.
So if people are, I mean, there is a list, a screening list of requirements before you can be considered for this. But if you think that you might be able to help, what is the best way? Where do you contact? What do you do exactly?
Well, Jason Patera, who is the head of school at Chicago Academy for the Art, is taking this on. And he wants anyone who's interested or think they might be a candidate for this to give him a call or email him. And then he will give them further instructions as to what to do. I'm at my transplant center is U of I Chicago. And he will then lead them to the transplant nurse, and they'll let them know what the next steps are.
Okay.
If they qualify. Yeah.
All right. Well, I tell you what, let's also do it this way. If anyone thinks that they can help, if they want to get more information, contact me here at WGN, and I'll make all the necessary connections. But if you contact Jason at ChicagoArtsAcademy.org, JPATERA at ChicagoArtsAcademy.org, or if you could just contact me here at WGN, and we will make the necessary arrangements to find out if you can help Randy. Not only one of the most talented people in the Chicago area, but I can tell you for more than 30 years, not a nicer, not a more caring, not a more genuine person than Randy Duncan. And I'm hoping that we can get this done for you, and that you're back up and running full steam ahead, and just as busy and sharing your gift with others as you always have.
Oh, Dean, I appreciate you, first off, knowing you for this long and have become good friends as well. It's really great that you're doing this for me. I certainly appreciate it.
More than happy to. The dance legend, Randy Duncan. Again, if you can help, contact me here at WGN or Jason Patera at JPATERA at ChicagoArtsAcademy.org. Randy, have a good Sunday, and we'll talk soon, my friend, okay?
Okay. Love you. Thanks so much.
You too. Thank you. And now 10:37, Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Time for the Weekend Theater segment. What's going on stage in Chicago? Productions just opened at the Black Ensemble Theater in Chicago. Out at the Paramount in Aurora, they're getting ready to open up their production of Waitress. Chicago regional premiere of that. We've got our Dean's Night Out that we're going to be doing there. I'm going to be taking 10 pair of people to join me to see the show, and we have a little pre-show reception February 23rd, you can go to WGNradio.com/contest for that. We also have a new production of Beautiful that has just opened at the Drury Lane in Oakbrook Terrace. And Waitress and Beautiful are relevant that those are running in Chicago right now, because one of our next two guests starred in both of those shows. Jesse Mueller, the pride of Evanston, Illinois, won an Tony Award for playing Carol King in Beautiful on Broadway. And she is coming back home to the Chicago area to be part of Seth's Broadway concert series at the Studebaker Theater on South Michigan Avenue. And that will be with SiriusXM Broadway host and musical director, the great Seth Rudesky, who also joins us this morning. Jesse and Seth, welcome to WGN.
Hey, good morning.
So nice to have both of you with us. Seth, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Now we can hear you perfectly. It's great to have both of you on here. First of all, Jesse, I can't tell you how excited people are that you're coming home back to the Chicago area to do this show. What does that mean to you? Because you have a pretty rich history here in Chicago with a couple of Joseph Jefferson Awards and credentials at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater and the Marriott Lincolnshire. You did the whole Chicago theater scene before you ever went to Broadway, right?
Oh, thank you. I love Chicago. I mean, yeah, that's where I started, and I wanted to come back to Chicago after school, and I wanted to work there because I grew up seeing Chicago theater, and I think it's some of the best theater in the country, and I will stand by it. But yeah, so I always love coming back home. Also, you know, I get to see friends and stuff, but I just think Chicago audiences are amazing. And I love to come back and be a part of that scene anytime I get the chance to. So,
yeah, Seth, tell us a little about this Broadway concert series. I know you do different events in different cities. What exactly will Jesse be doing that night? And you?
Sure. Basically, you know, I worked many, many years as a piano player on Broadway, and then I also have this other job where I'm on SiriusXM Radio, and I do all these Broadway interviews. And so whenever I see people's cabaret acts, it always kind of crazy that it's the same pattern they do in every single city, because I want it to be special. So what I do with my stars, like Jesse Mueller, is, you know, I'll have Jesse sing all of her signature classics, you know, Waitress and Beautiful and Carousel, but instead of screaming pattern, between each song, I interview her, and she doesn't know what I'm going to be asking her, so it's much more off the cuff. And it's so off the cuff that we don't necessarily plan. Like, I remember at one point, she said something, and I was like, wait, why were you never Eponine in Les Mis? And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, hit it! And I just run to the piano, and I force her to sing a song from Les Mis. So it's very spontaneous, because I like the audience to get a unique experience. So that's kind of my signature.
I gotta tell you, I mean, I'm such a huge fan of Jesse, but Seth, I am such a fan of your show. I listen to the Broadway channel quite a bit, and I love the stories that you tell. I love these kind of interactions that you're talking about when you have some of the biggest stars on Broadway that come on your show, and you're obviously sitting at a piano and, you know, laughing and joking and... But then you burst, you know, you sort of force them to burst into song, which I love.
Well, and not, let me just brag on Seth a little bit. Like, not everybody can do that. Let me just point that out. You know what I mean? What you're saying, Dean, is, and I have to say, that's so much of the fun of it for the performers. I have other friends that do this series of Seth as well, and to me, that's just part of the joy of it, is you never quite know what's coming at you, but you know you're in good hands with Seth and that he's going to take you on a fun ride. And like you said, I think it's so fun for the audiences because they're getting something completely unique. Like, no one else will see the show that they see. Yeah. And I think that's really rare nowadays.
Yeah. And there really has to be a level of trust, right, between you, just the performer, and when you have somebody, you know, the host, you know, quote host, who you don't really know what they're going to do or ask. There has to be a level beyond trust there to jump into something like that. And it's always, as a listener, Seth, it's so much fun to listen to your show.
Hey, thank you so much. I really, really do appreciate that. And Jesse, I completely forgot that I really pulled a big, not a scam, but I totally did a whole thing with Jesse. We were in Vegas doing our show, and she'd always wanted to play Christine in Phantom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My friend Brent Barrett. Remember, I forgot that. Brent Barrett had been Phantom on Broadway, so I surprised her, and I made Jesse do, like, all the songs from Phantom. Jesse, how are you not in a panic that I made you sing Christine stuff with no rehearsal?
Well, yes, he totally surprised me. And so Brent Barrett comes up, you know, this tall drink of water with a voice from heaven, and he starts singing Phantom, and I sort of froze for a little bit because I was like, oh, I know. And I was like, no, I don't know the words to this. So I'm like running around the piano. You know, Brent is like giving it, you know, it's like everything but the mask. And so I'm running around the piano, like trying to look at the words. What did we sing? Music? No, not Music of the Night. I don't even remember. But it was pretty amazing. And Brent was a very good sport because I sure didn't know the words.
Well, I think,
you nailed the high note.
Yeah, I think everyone's getting a sense of what this night is going to be at the Studebaker. It's an historic theater, 410 South Michigan Avenue here in Chicago. It's going to be a week from Saturday, February 15th, at 7:30, and you can get tickets at fineartsbuilding.com or 312-753-3210. I'll repeat all of that. This is going to be a really, really fun night. Jesse, talk to me a little bit about growing up in Evanston and, you know, kind of cutting your teeth in music and in theater here in Chicago back in the day.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, like you said, I grew up in Evanston. My parents are both actors, Jill Schellenberger and Roger Mueller. And so we grew up seeing a lot of theater, and I have two brothers and a sister, all very talented. We're all in the arts and all performers, and I think it was just something that we were kind of surrounded by from a very early age. And I don't know, I guess maybe it seemed quote unquote normal to us, you know what I mean? It was just sort of like mommy and dad's job. But So I grew up, like you said, going to the Drury Lane and the Marriott and Chicago Shakespeare and Writers Theater and Court Theater, and Paramount wasn't a thing yet. And also I just have to say, I knew Waitress and Beautiful were like coming up in Chicago, because I remember, you know, I pay attention and, you know, I'm always interested in what the seasons are going to be. And I didn't know they were both happening simultaneously. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really
kind of wild, right?
It's a tribute to you, really. Month.
I'm just so glad that it's such a privilege to be a part of a show that has a life. Because growing up in Chicago and working there, it works a little differently. You do shows for a month and a half, 2 months, and then you got to go get another job. And to be a part of shows like that on Broadway that were successful and ran and then continue to run even after you necessarily might leave the show as a performer and then have a life touring and then now are coming in and having lives in regional theater, it's just very cool. It's very cool to be a part of something like that who's you know, the artistic life of something lives on, and that's just really, really very cool. Oh, yeah. And today's Carole King's birthday.
Oh, really?
I just realized, yeah. It's in the ether. Something's going on, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All the planets are lining up for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Seth, talk to me a little bit about what Chicago theater means to you. I mean, I know you're so tapped into the Broadway scene, but I've talked to so many producers, directors, actors, when they bring shows to Chicago for pre-Broadway runs, and they all talk about what they think is why they think Chicago is so important before they take their shows to Broadway. What's your take on the Chicago theater scene?
Chicago is considered like a very legit theater town. I think probably every city in America loves, but Chicago is have like a very not highfalutin audience, but a very educated audience, because the theater scene is so serious there. It's not a theater scene that's a launching pad. It's like a theater scene that is the pad. You know what I mean? It's like the goal. It ends in Chicago because it's such a serious theater town. So I think that's how Chicago is viewed. Although, of course, there are shows that try out in Chicago. I mean, it's a big tryout town, like Adam's Family and the producers. I did the producers on Broadway. But I think it's just considered like the goal to be like a Chicago theater actor. And that's why Jessie, we talk in her show, like her goal was to be a successful Chicago theater actress. She kind of almost like, not was dragged to Broadway, but that wasn't necessarily her goal. So that's how I see it. And by the way, on a side note, Prairie Lake Theater, Des Plaines, Illinois, is that like considered Chicago?
Des Plaines is a suburb, a north suburb of Chicago. Yeah, it's, 20 minutes from...
Well, I knew because they're doing the show that I wrote on Broadway, Disaster.
So they're doing Disaster?
Jesse... Yes, isn't that funny? So it's like we have all our shows from Broadway are all coming to the Chicago area. I still got it. I just looked it up.
Still got it, yeah.
How about that? Look at that. Look at that. All the planets are lined up for all of this. Back with more with Seth Radetzky and the Tony Award winner Jesse Mueller. This is The Week in Theater on WGN. Evanston's very own Jesse Mueller at the Tony Awards.
Wow.
In 2014, Jesse, 10 years ago. Can you believe that?
Yes and no.
How are you?
Kind of crazy, but
how are you feeling? I mean, you're on stage.
A moment ago.
You are on stage at the Tony Awards singing. What? How do you describe what's going on inside that night?
Well, I just heard that, and I was like, "Who's that singing?" I literally didn't know that was me. Well, I do remember being very excited. I also remember I had a big quick change that I had to do. I remember that. I think I had to go like a full quick change, wig, outfit, and then I had to like run around and get behind the grand piano because all the Shirelle girls were coming out.
Right.
Because often with the Tonys, you have these sort of like Frankenstein number so that you can really sort of like showcase your show.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I mean, I remember being very excited, nervous for sure. But then I think, I don't know, like a hyper-focus takes over. And you just, I just sort of remember, you know, trying to ground myself in the moment. And then, I also was excited because I knew Carole King was going to come out and the audience didn't know that. And that was going to be a big surprise. So I was pretty hyped about that too.
Yeah. Amazing. That's amazing. Carole King's 83rd birthday, by the way.
83 today. Isn't that something? God bless her.
Isn't that something? So Seth, for many reasons, I am a big fan of your knowledge, of your talent. But as a radio person, I admire that you are the fastest talking guy on the radio that I have ever heard. I listened and I just said, you should have been in one of those road race commercials, you know, from back in the day. You are such a fast talker. I admire that greatly.
You do, because I just got an incredibly angry letter saying, oh my God, you talk so fast. I can't understand what you're saying. And then it ended with, I can't believe you're starring in a musical. And by the way, it was a fan letter. It began with like, I'm such a fan. And then it ended with such anger. So I think it's a nice person. Thank you.
I love it. I just in, like, you know, from a mechanical standpoint as a radio person, I love the roller coaster ride of listening to you in the afternoon on Sirius XM. And we're going to look forward to the big show that's coming to the Studebaker Theater, Seth Broadway Concert Series with Tony Award winner Jesse Mueller. It's going to be Saturday, February 15th, 7:30 show. This is going to be a very special evening of performance in Chicago. You can get tickets at fineartsbuilding.com or by calling 312-753-3210. And there's special meet and greet tickets. There's like a whole deal. So you'll be able to really enjoy it all. You're doing other Broadway concert series events though, right, Seth?
Yeah, I was just there at the Studebaker with Norbert Leo Buss and Lilias White. And then, you know,
how fun.
Yeah. Oh my God, it was amazing. And of course, the Studebaker I'm obsessed with because my favorite show is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So I was so excited to be at the actual Studebaker Theater. Oh my God, it worked out. And I toured the show everywhere. So, you know, Justin and I have done, we've done Babies, we've done Provincetown. So basically just go to my website and you'll see me. And by the way, in terms of the fast talking, it's two things. That's my family, because my family talks fast. And on SiriusXM, we're supposed to limit how long we talk. So I try to get as much information I can into the very short window that I'm allowed to speak.
I didn't know that. All right. Well, and Jesse, we've talked several times here on the show and also on our television morning show, the WGN TV Morning News. Were you a child of Bozo? Did you grow up with Bozo on WGN?
I sure did. And we played, and my grandma, God bless her, who is 106.
Wow.
Every birthday. Yep. Take that one in, folks. Every birthday, almost every birthday, we would play Bozo Buckets. Like she would set up at our birthday party, she would set up Bozo Buckets. That just took me back when you said that. That, and I was jamming. I was telling Seth, I was texting him. I was jamming to the O'Reilly jingle on the ads. Like I love hearing all the, O'Reilly, like all the Chicago ads. I love it.
Yeah, of course. The nothing but nostalgia. Are you hip to our Bozo scene here in Chicago, Seth, at all?
Yeah, do you know about Bozo, Seth?
Like, National Bozo, like the Bozo the Clown that I know from
Bozo
New York
the Clown.
City?
It is the National Bozo, but the show that we had on WGN in Chicago ran for 40 years, longer than any other Bozo show.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was on the air for 40 years. And to this day, when we have celebs and A-listers come through WGN, they and, you know, because they watched WGN on the old Superstation nationally, they want to play the buckets, and we drag the buckets out, and they want to play grand prize game. So it's legendary. So the next time you're both in Chicago, we'll arrange to get the buckets so Jesse, you can relive a childhood memory.
Right, do the Buckets travel? Can we bring him to the Studebaker? Come to the Studebaker. Wow. We'll play Bozo Buckets on stage. Let me have a Bozo Bucket off.
Let me find out. Let me find out if that would be possible. How great would that be to have?
That'd be fun.
Jesse, Seth, and the Bozo Buckets, the grand prize game.
Well, see? A unique show, folks. That's what you're in for.
That's right. That's right. Again, it's Saturday, February 15th, Seth's Broadway concert series at the Studebaker Theater. 410 South Michigan Avenue with Jesse Mueller. And 312-753-3210 and fineartsbuilding.com for more information. Jesse, Seth, pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much. We look forward to seeing both of you.
Awesome. Nice to talk with you, Dean.
Keep talking.
So great. All right. See everybody on Saturday. I'm going to bring a scarf.
Yes, he better bring more than a scarf.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Jay, you school him on what he's going to need, Jesse.
I will. I'll let him know about parkas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Happy to see that you took your coat off, finally.
It's warmed up in here, and it's quite comfortable right now.
He knocked out a few things in the newsroom when he did it.
Shawnee's been the Michelin man all morning.
It's Gore-Tex.
That's right.
On behalf of the entire Sunday morning staff, we wish you'd put your shirt back on, but glad you're feeling more comfortable.
Don't listen to him.
And he's got
He's got
body paint for the colors of the Kansas City Chiefs. Who knew you were a body painter?
Don't listen to him.
Who knew? You think you know a guy after all these years?
I said, don't listen to him.
Turned into a nice day outside.
Oh yeah.
Sun is trying to come out.
Yeah. Some clouds, as Tim Joyce just reported.
Yeah, it's a little cloudy, but it's still, you could tell it's like trying to be a sunny day today.
Wait till later in the week. Mm. Snow and cold once again.
Mm. Great.
I'll be out of town most of the week. You know where I'm going?
Where are you going?
London, England.
Oh, wow. You are? Really?
Pip, old chap.
Well.
I bet I won't have any trouble finding a cup of tea there.
Very true. Maybe you should take some home with you.
A spot of tea.
You'll have a spot of tea. Where in London are you going and what for?
In London proper. I'll be there for the world premiere of a new movie called Mickey 17, starring Robert Pattinson of Twilight fame. You know him from Twilight. He was the Batman in the last Batman movie also. Do you know who he is, Ronnie?
Now,
he's a big deal, believe me.
Okay, have you been? You've been to London before.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right. So, why are they doing this in London now?
Because that's where they want to do it.
Okay.
He's British. Most of the cast is British, so.
All right. Okay.
You know, it's nice that they invited me.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
We'll see if you get invited again.
I've been to London many times for world premieres.
Mind your manners. Mind your manners.
The last thing we need is a world crisis right now.
Don't wear your Beatles wig.
Caused by a numbskull reporter.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. I won't bring up anything controversial at customs, say, for example.
Yes, especially at customs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no jokes.
You know, they have this new thing now, and I'm not entirely clear on what it is, but it's called ETA. When you travel to the United Kingdom now, you have to apply for this. It's like an electronic, I forget what ETA stands for. It's
estimated time of arrival.
No, well, that's what normally ETA would stand for, but this is something that you have to present at customs before you go into the United Kingdom, in addition to your passport.
You have to do this specifically in London, in England?
You have to
England?
Apply for it ahead of time. And
can you do it online?
Yeah, I did it online already. Mm-hmm. I'm already approved. And but it's my first time dealing with this. So if you hear
that... Well, no, that's part of your story now. You'll have to report on this when you get back. Are you going to be back Sunday?
If I get back.
If you get back.
I may wind up in the royal dungeon if I don't play my cards just. I forgot the auto show started yesterday. Great Chicago tradition. You guys like going to the auto show? I love it. I think it's fun.
I haven't been there in a while.
Even if I'm, you know, not looking for a new car, I just like looking at all the new stuff that's out there. And there's, you know, with all the technology now and electric cars and, you know, all that, more fascinating than ever, I think. Juana, you like the auto show?
Oh, I think it's fine.
You don't like the auto show?
No, I do. I do. And there's a lot of history behind it,
yeah,
especially here in Chicago. Again, going back to our youth or our ute, depending on how you say it.
Right.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the anniversary of the big snow,
yes,
1967. After we got done with the program, I was, just kind of thinking, you know, 1967 was the year my dad wanted to buy a new car and wanted to go to the auto show. And just several days or a week and a half before the big snow, McCormick Place burned to the ground.
That's right.
And so I was looking that up, and they frantically set up the auto show.
Did they stage it somewhere else?
At the old amphitheater.
Oh.
Near the stockyards.
The most aromatic place in Chicago.
Oh, it was lovely.
Yeah.
It was lovely. But as I said, my dad was really intent on looking at cars that year. Sure. And my father was just really into cars, just loved them. So we drove up, and on a school night, we drove into the city and went to the amphitheater at the stockyards.
Oh, brother.
This is 1967, so the stockyards were still in force. And when you got out of the car, you knew it.
Oh, you didn't even have to, you know, they were slaughtering animals at the stockyards back then. You just had to get within a couple of miles of the amphitheater, and you could smell the stench. I don't know. We used to go there all the time for
shows,
car
and so
shows,
forth.
Rod and Custom shows.
You know, and we went
to all those. Yeah.
We're talking about the Beatles. That's where they performed
and
when
the
they
Beatles
came here.
Yeah, they must have really been impressed with Chicago. To this day, what I love at the auto show are those little displays they have where you can get your glasses cleaned.
Oh, that's been there for years.
For decades.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fudge. You can get
the Kilwin's fudge.
From, what is it? Mackinac?
Mackinac, Kilwin's fudge at Mackinac Island.
Mackinac,
yeah, Northern
Mackinac
Michigan.
Mackinac fudge. And I get my glasses cleaned and then I can go home.
So that's what you go for.
That's what
fudge. Get your glasses cleaned. Okay, let's go now.
Yeah, okay, because there's so many. There's the crowds around the cars. It's just a lot easier to get your glasses cleaned.
Yeah. Get the fudge first in case you smudge your glasses with the fudge.
And get the fudge out
You can
there.
Get big pretzels there.
Oh, those are good.
Those pretzels are good.
Yeah, those are good.
So you're going to London, so you're not going to the auto show.
No, the auto show's going until the 17th.
Okay. Well, you can do both.
I'll be back in time.
Okay.
I am curious. I'm not in the market for a car at all, but I am curious about all the latest technology, the e-cars, these driverless cars terrify me and fascinate me at the same time.
There have been some serious and, in fact, fatal accidents with some of those driverless cars out in California.
Yeah. It's fun, though. It's fun. It's the last time that I went to the auto show, I took my brother. The reason that we went to every auto show, every Rod and Custom show, anything automotive, was because my brother Bill was a auto nut, and he wound up having a brain tumor. He wound up having dementia. He wound up having a lot of things. Before all of those things, he restored old cars for a living. I mean, he lived his dream of working on cars. So when it was difficult for him to walk because of his medical conditions, I put him in a wheelchair and we went to the auto show, and he made me drag him all over McCormick Place. Are you sure you don't want to go home yet? No, let's go over there. Let's go look at this. But that was the last time. I don't know, 5-7 years ago, something. It was a lot of fun. You know, we're talking about the anniversary of the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. talking about, you know, all the old Super Bowl halftime shows. Another anniversary was yesterday. And believe it or not, it's been 25 years since Bob Collins passed away.
I really have been boggled by that. Yeah.
I cannot believe it's been 25 years.
Yeah.
And in just a moment, we'll remember good old Uncle Bobby. The great Loudon Wainwright III with his classic Dead Skunk in the middle of the road, a favorite of the great Bob Collins. Believe it or not, it was 25 years ago yesterday that we lost Bob in that horrible plane crash that took place. Bob and three people, Bob included in those three, killed in a midair collision of two small planes over Zion, Illinois. A midair collision, investigators concluding a chain of miscalculations began with an inaccurate position estimated by Bob, according to the Chicago Tribune. National Transportation Safety Board said that a plane piloted by Bob and an aircraft flown by a student pilot were in the same crowded airspace approaching the same runway at Waukegan Regional Airport about 3 p.m. February 8th, the year 2000. I will never forget that day as long as I live. I'm sure fans of WGN, you know, longtime fans of WGN will never, you know, where had they been listening to the disaster, the tragedy that unfolded that afternoon on Spike Odell's show. But behind the scenes, we had gotten unconfirmed reports before we ever went public with any of this on the air. There were unconfirmed reports that Bob was involved in a plane crash. And, of course, we couldn't go on the air with it until we could confirm the information. But slowly it was confirmed, and the horrible truth was there. And it was on the shoulders of our pal Spike Odell to tell Chicago, to tell you know, WGN listeners, to tell the world that Bob had died in that plane collision. It was horrible. It was, you know, it was like the worst nightmare that you could possibly think of, slowly unfolding. And, you know, those of us behind the scenes, you know, we had just talked to Bob that morning. We had, I was on the show with him the day before. He had asked me to come in to talk about a TV special that was about to be on or was just on. I can't remember. Maybe it wasn't on the air yet. But it was a reunion between Mary Tyler Moore and Valerie Harper as Mary Richards and Rhoda Morgenstern, the two characters that they played on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, in a TV movie about where these two were now all of these years later. Had life turned out the way they wanted it to turn out? And that really sparked something with Bob, the idea of did life turn out to be the way you hoped it might? And then he came back on the air the next day and talked about that, you know, rather infamously and ironically, that would wind up being his final show, talking about did life turn out the way that you hoped for? And then he went, you know, he was meeting somebody for lunch, hopped in his plane, you know, and on the return, the tragedy took place. But I remember, I don't know, Andy, were you around?
Yeah, actually, I had just started working with him, as a matter of fact, because I think I actually may have been working that morning for Dave Ennett, now that I'm remembering it. But the thing that struck me about the whole thing, I was just telling Shawnee off the air, I don't know what it was, but every single person that was employed by WGN Radio felt the need to come back to the radio station that evening.
Yeah.
And everybody was standing in the old Studio A over there, the big combo studio that we had where Bob broadcast his show from. And we were all just kind of looking at each other going, what do we do? I mean, it was a feeling of absolute helplessness.
Right.
I remember listening to Spike make the announcement and feeling for him because...
I don't know how he got through that show.
The weight of the world was on his shoulders at that point. Right. And, you know, Spike being a true pro that he is, handled it with as much grace and class as anyone could have.
And then had to come back the next morning...
And fill in on the show.
And do the Bob Collins show. With this news fresh like that. I remember standing around like that in the big studio that we used to have. And also, remember in our main conference room, that was like a sort of a meeting area.
Yeah.
And people were just hanging around there. Some were like literally in fetal positions on the floor in tears. And everybody was comforting everybody else over this, you know, what had become a huge news story.
Yeah.
But affected us all so personally, and Bob, to this day, look at this, 25 years later, you know, we still remember what an impact that he had, and, you know, what a joker he was, what a clown he was.
I know.
You know.
I was telling Shawnee, remember the first time I walked into the studio to do a morning show with him, and I turned the corner through the double doors, and the first person I laid eyes on was Orion Samuelson. And I look to my left, and there's Bob Collins. And I look behind me, and there's Tom Peterson in the newsroom. And I'm thinking to myself, which one of these is not like the others?
Yeah, one of these things is not like the other. Yeah.
And I just remember Dave Ennett telling me, listen, he's a big teddy bear. He's a lot of bark. He's no bite whatsoever. Play along and have fun, but just be respectful. And I'm like, easy peasy. And we had a lot of fun.
Yeah. I remember, you know, back in those days, I was sort of in charge of doing the commercials. Here, and I had recorded a commercial for, I don't remember what it was for, but it was supposed to have a sound effect of a Harley motorcycle in it. And I looked through our sound effects library, and I found a motorcycle sound, and I put it in and recorded it. And it was like, it wasn't a Harley. let me just say that the sound was not even remotely Harley. And Bob, who was a big motorcycle enthusiast on the air, calls me to come into the studio and he brings me to the studio and he gave it to me that what were you thinking? Like, that's not a Harley. And, you know, he had his way with me, if you will. But that's when I, you know, learned what a warm and lovable and hilarious guy that he was.
I'm having flashbacks to two different incidents. I was getting ready to go to Platteville to cover the Bears for the first time. And he had given me this lecture about watching my speed in certain areas in Wisconsin. And sure enough, I got pulled over and got a ticket and had to come on the air with him the next day to apologize to him for not taking his advice and going cruise control 55. And then there was another famous one that we had. Wrigley Field was announcing the tickets going on sale. And there used to be these wristbands that you would get and they would draw a number. So let's say you had wristband number 186 and they draw 185. Well, you're great because you're number two to buy tickets. He could not grasp the concept of how this whole thing worked. I was at Wrigley Field. Dave Ennett was in the studio trying to explain it, and it was just unintentional hilarity.
Hilarity. Yeah. You know, we put out a CD. What's a CD, Uncle D? We put out a CD called There's Something About Bob, which were some of his classic moments on the air. When we come back from our news update, I'm going to play a cut or two from that so we continue to remember the great Uncle Bobby.
I know this may be a bit presumptuous on my part, but I trust that Bob Collins won't mind. You're about to meet a new personality here on WGN Radio. A stranger from another part of the world having come to Chicago. And I just want to speak for the WGN audience today and tell the fellow that you're about to listen to that he's going to meet a lot of great friends.
It's the brand new Bob Collins show, but the same old Bob Collins. I don't know what to tell you. I think Roy Leonard explained it this morning when he said that he knows of no other instance in radio where they let somebody on the air for 2 hours and then give him another 2 hours a little later in the day to explain and apologize for that. Well, whatever. Welcome to the Bob Collins Show, 7 to 9 tonight. Delighted to be here.
There is another question often asked of us by new people who come to WGN, and I thought even before Bob Collins asks the question that I would give him the answer. Yes, it's true, Bob. Wally Phillips did start this way. Secondly, I have his home private number. Whenever you run into any trouble, all you have to do is call him.
Do you think he'll take kindly to that?
No.
Hi, I'm Wally Phillips, and I want to tell you why I think you'll like starting your day with Bob Collins on WGN Radio in the morning. First of all, he's very good to his mother. Maybe you do it for her sake, because obviously Bob's mother loves him very much. And we all want more love in this world, and we'd like to hear that somebody else is loving somebody.
I can't imagine a researcher calling or knocking on the...
Yeah, say, who cares?
Pardon me, how much are you all doing in there?
Well, talk about legends, right? Wally Phillips, Roy Leonard, and the great Bob Collins, Robert L. Collins. We continue to remember him with some classic cuts coming up next.
Welcome to the Tyrone F. Gendelman Don't Call Us, We'll Call You Radio Amateur Hour. It's a delight to welcome you to our stage. Jim.
Pleasure to be here.
What is, what is your particular area of expertise?
Well, I just happen to be hosting, they're on their way through Chicago, the Furtive Family of Fine Frogs.
The Furtive Family of Fine Frogs.
Yeah, that's a water thrill show.
I suppose it would be, yes. Yeah,
they represent four generations of frogs.
Fine frogs.
Fine frogs.
Fine furtive frogs.
In fact, the furtive family does it all, from running the boat, to playing the music, to cleaning up.
The plane?
Cleaning up.
Well, it's kind of, you know, after the act, somebody has to... I've never seen a frog act on the radio, Jim. I'm a little confused as to precisely what it is that they do.
Well, I got to tell you, our star of the show, Flim Flam Furtis, will not be appearing tonight.
Oh, is he ill?
Well, he had an accident the other day.
What happened to him?
Well, I guess I can tell you about show business, seeing your side.
Yeah, I don't...
He tried to sniff coke, but somehow he got his head caught in the neck of the bottle.
That laugh.
Well,
Uncle Bobby, the great Bob Collins, life, who we lost, believe it or not, 25 years ago yesterday. I can't hardly believe that it's that long ago. It doesn't seem that way. And apparently, same with many of you, that you also can't remember that it's that long ago, but you remember exactly what you were doing that day. Here is someone saying, I was on Willow Road in the left turn lane waiting to get on 294 South when Spike broke the news. How about that for specific details? I watched the funeral and sobbed like Bob was a member of the family. Yeah, well, I mean, he was a member of the family. I mean, you woke up with him every morning. He was on in the afternoon. He was on in the evening. People remembering Bob Collins. Says 773, I remember Uncle Bobby used to call his wife Agnes, excuse me, and one day he slipped up and called her Christine, which is her real name, by the way. And he was flooded with calls. Who is Christine? People are remembering the bottle of Jack Daniels that was found in his desk. And every year on the anniversary, I presume that Bob Surratt did it, right?
Yeah, he did it.
On Friday, you guys did a shot?
Well, no, he didn't do it this week. I think because Dave wasn't here.
Oh. So yeah. They're probably going to wait.
Yeah, probably wait until Dave gets back.
Until everybody's here. Yeah. But the tradition is on the anniversary. Is it this anniversary or on his birthday?
You know what? I think they do the shot on his birthday.
Okay. All right. So that's the 28th of February. But they took this bottle of Jack Daniels and do a shot. Now, every year they water it down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So there's still enough in there.
Right.
So I can't imagine what it must taste like now. 847 area code. To WGN, my radio family, I first started listening to Wally Phillips and now Bob Surratt. I've loved you all. You're such a part of our lives. You make us feel like you're right here with us no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's going on in your lives. Thank you for being a part of my life. Well, thank you for that very, very lovely note. 815 area code Spike signed off the next morning with bagpipes for Uncle Bobby. Kathy and Judy somehow had to follow that with all of us bawling along the way. Love you forever. Uncle Bobby. Schwani, do you, What kind of memories do you have of Uncle Bob?
Well, when I was here at that time, I was with Tribune Radio Networks, a division of WGN at the time, and I would see him. I never worked with him like you did, Andy and Dean, but I would see him at the station, and he was very, very friendly off the air also. We stopped and would talk for a moment, you know, around the coffee maker or outside the studio, and so I didn't get to know him well, but I did get to talk with him. I remember the very first time I heard him, though, was when he was doing that split shift, yep, the afternoon and then evenings.
Right.
And that was still during the time when you had staff announcers like the legendary Carl Grayson working with him.
This is WGN Chicago.
Radio home of millions throughout Mid-America. Yep. Two more different personalities on the air you could not have.
Which made it even funnier.
Amazing. Just
because
amazing.
Carl Grayson was, you know, the straight man, and that's all Bob needed to to work around that.
And I remember when Carl passed away, Bob was pretty broken up over that on the air also. So, you know, but like I said, I never worked with him, but, you know, did get to say hello and talk for a bit about, you know, what we were doing in broadcasting and things like that. Yeah. So, but I too will never, ever forget the day that happened.
He was very supportive, you know.
Yes.
You know, I was just starting, you know, I came here in 93, 94, something. He couldn't have been more supportive and nice and complimentary. He had heard my show on other stations, and was welcoming, and he was a great guy.
Well, is the story true about him working in Milwaukee, and there was somebody that made a bet that, you know, if he submitted information, you know, back then the old audition tapes and so forth to WGN, you know, could he get a job here or in Chicago?
I've never heard that.
You haven't heard that story?
No.
Yeah.
I think you're making it up.
I'm not making it up.
I think you've had a couple of shots at Jack Daniels.
Not watered down.
Shrawny keeps a flask in his back. That's why he had his coat on all morning. He had his flask.
The truth comes out.
224 area code. No, 630 area code. Loving this. Thanks for all the memories. What I remember from Bob are things I've learned as I've aged. And that's something that he did on his final show. I think it was the final thing that he did.
It was the final thing on the final show.
On the final show, February 8th, 2000. He did his show that morning, ended it with this, things I have learned as I've aged, and then got in the airplane and, you know, the rest was history. The great Robert L. Collins.
Some things I have learned as I aged. Age 6. I've learned that I like my teacher because she cries when we sing Silent Night. Age 7. I've learned that you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Age 9. I've learned that when I wave to people in the country, they stop what they're doing and wave back. Age 13, I've learned that just when I get my room the way I want it, Mom makes me clean it up. Age 14, I've learned that if you want to cheer yourself up, you should try cheering somebody else up. Age 15, I've learned that although it's hard to admit, I secretly am glad my parents are strict with me. Age 24, I've learned that silent company is often more healing than words or advice. Age 26, I've learned that brushing my child's hair is one of life's great pleasures. Age 29, I've learned that wherever I go, the world's worst drivers follow me there. Age 39, I've learned that if somebody says something unkind about me, I must live so that no one will believe it. Age 41, I've learned that there are people who love you dearly but just don't know how to say it. Age 44, I've learned that you can make somebody's day simply by sending them a little card. Age 46, I've learned that the greater a person's sense of guilt, the greater his need to cast blame on others. Age 47, I've learned that children and grandparents are natural allies. Age 49, I've learned that singing Amazing Grace can lift my spirit for hours. Age 50, I've learned that the motel mattresses are better on the side away from the phone. Age 51, I've learned that you can tell a lot about a man by the way he handles these three things: a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. Age 52, I've learned that keeping a vegetable garden is worth a whole medicine cabinet full of pills. Age 53, I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you miss them terribly after they die. Age 58, I've learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. Age 61, I've learned that if you want to do something positive for your children, try improving your marriage. Age 62, I've learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. Age 64, I've learned that if you pursue happiness, it will elude you. But if you focus on your family, the needs of others, your work, and meeting new people, and doing the very best you can, happiness will in fact find you. Age 66, I've learned that whenever I decide something with kindness, I almost always make the right decision. Age 72, I've learned that everybody can use a prayer. Age 73, I've learned to believe in miracles, and to tell you the truth, I've seen a few. Age 82, I've learned that even if I have pains, I don't have to be one. Age 85, I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love the human touch. Holding hands, a warm hug, or a friendly pat on the back, it's all wonderful. And age 92, I've learned that I still have a lot to learn.
If you are going to watch the Super Bowl halftime show today, this is the man who will take the stage. Kendrick Lamar won a Grammy Award last Sunday, Record of the Year and Song of the Year, and now playing on the biggest stage of all, the Super Bowl halftime show with singer SZA, and who knows what surprises he may have coming up. What else is going on for Super Bowl Sunday? Well, John Baptiste, former band leader of Stephen Colbert's band on his late night show, he's going to be doing the national anthem. And Wayne Brady, who you know from Whose Line Is It Anyway? He's the host of Let's Make a Deal these days. Master improviser is doing something special for Super Bowl Sunday. We caught up with him in a Zoom chat this week over at WGN-TV, and he told me all about it. Welcome back to WGN, my friend. It's good to see you.
Thank you so much, Dean. It's good to see you, too.
Look at you getting all ready for the Super Bowl with all this food behind you here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, my buddies at Purdue Chicken, they supply all the chicken, and all I have to do is supply the comedy. You know, they reached out to me, and they said, Wayne, we want to do something that no one has done. You do what you do, which is you make spontaneous theater. You make that comedy gold, and we're going to wing it. That's our title. We are winging it. On the commercial breaks between the football action, we will be taking suggestions from my Instagram, which is Mr. Brady Baby on Instagram, and we're going to aggregate all these suggestions live in real time, and I'm just going to make stuff up off the top of the head. My comedy partner, Jonathan Mangum from Let's Make a Deal, and my buddy, Chris Lee, who I remember last time when I was in Chicago years ago when I was in the cast of Hamilton, we talked. Chris Lee was the Lafayette, and since then he's gone on to do a bunch of TV shows, and now he's on a new show on CBS. So the three of us are going to be making stuff up and having fun and doing things that no one has done on TV or streaming up to that point.
So this sounds like live improv.
It is.
You would say to an audience, give me topics, and the improv group goes crazy that way.
That's it. That's it. You give me the prompts, and we will create the scenes.
All right. Well, I'm going to definitely be on your Instagram page throwing you some stuff here. And
I love it.
You know, seeing what's going to happen. So are you a cook? Do you do a good job in the kitchen?
I do a job to keep myself alive. I can cook meat, and I can boil something. So that's what mama taught me. I'm really good that way.
What's your best thing? If I was going to try to recreate something on our show, what would be the Wayne Brady recipe that I should try?
I make a great Cajun ribeye steak, seasoned through and through, nice blackened outside, and a baked mac and cheese.
Nice.
And buttered green beans.
Oh, that sounds good.
With an Arnold Palmer on the side.
Very nice. Nice way to top all that off. I do a cooking segment here on our station also now, and I'm gonna recreate your stuff. The Cajun ribeye sounds great.
And bonus points if you happen to use the Purdue wings on the side.
That's right. You have to. Exactly right. I believe, if I remember correctly, you're living in Los Angeles, and I'm hoping that you were not too affected by all that's going on there. I know that everybody who's breathing air in Los Angeles right now is affected, but I hope you didn't sustain too much damage.
Well, the good news is, the good news for me is yes, my house was standing. By the grace of God, you know, the fire, my house is full of smoke, and I'll have to replace things that way. But the structure was fine. But then I've got friends like my neighbor across the street that his house is sadly gone. And all my friends in the neighborhood up the street, they've lost their homes, a whole neighborhood gone. So I think that while I celebrate my personal the blessing that I have, I am very sad for all those who have lost what they have. I'm sad for the neighborhoods like Altadena, culturally rich neighborhoods that they pass their homes down generation to generation, and businesses, and they're gone. So as glad as I am for me, I'm trying to be of any help I can for the people that need it.
That's got to be mind-blowing to have a neighbor right across the street lose everything. That's got to mess with your mind a little bit.
It's trippy, because you go, wow, that could have been me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. But it just, you know, this disasters like this, they, regardless of status, who you are, where you are, anyone can be touched at any time. And that's why we have to appreciate the good times and appreciate the times when we can have fun, when we can come together as a community, because we can't control all of the other things.
Yeah. I think since the last time I talked to you, you became a father again. If I heard correctly, baby boy, is that right?
I have a beautiful 2-year-old named Val Henry Au. He's a gorgeous little guy, super smart. And it's just, it's a unique experience being a father now. And my daughter, Miley, she just turned 22 yesterday.
Yeah.
So 20 years apart.
Yeah. So how is that on dad, having a terrible tour in the house right now?
The same as the first time, except I'm not chasing him around the house all the time, because who has the energy for that?
Yeah. How about that? The great Wayne Brady, who is, doing some things with Purdue Chicken today. And, you can check that out on the websites that he had talked about during the commercials, if you are so inclined. Can you imagine that, though? 51 years old, having a newborn baby, well, 2-year-old. But, when the baby was born, he was 49. Now he's 51, he said, with a 2-year-old, dealing with that kind of energy in the house. That is something to say right there. So thank you to Wayne Brady for joining us on the program today. We're going to get into, Super Bowl is one of the biggest food days of the year, with all kinds of appetizers that are being featured. We're going to talk about those coming up in our next section of the program. And remember some of the greatest Super Bowl halftime shows of all time. I want to tell you about one of the great musicals of all time, Beautiful, the Carole King musical. It's on stage now at the Drury Lane Theater in Oakbrook Terrace, playing through March 23rd. How would you like a pair of tickets to this show? It is the show. We had the original actress that played Carole King in the Broadway version of Beautiful on our show earlier this morning, the great Jessie Mueller. She won a Tony Award for playing that role. And she talked about how today, actually, is Carole King's birthday. Today is Carole King's 83rd birthday. How about that?
83?
83 years old. Makes sense, though, right?
It does, yeah.
Because McCartney, Jagger, you know, they're all
right.
They're
yeah, all
about
that's
that.
Right.
They're
yeah.
all about that age. Yeah. She's from that era. But this show takes you from her humble beginnings as a teenager to a songwriter to performer. It's a fantastic show. And we've got a pair of tickets to give away right now to caller 10-312-981-7200. Nice. 76 degrees.
76 and partly sunny in New Orleans.
That's
right
about
now.
Perfect there. It's not too hot because it can get like really hot and humid and... But that's about perfect for this.
Yes, and the humidity up there, kind of, relatively speaking, for us, 79% humidity right now.
So it is a little humid there.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to talk about Super Bowl appetizers a little later in the show here, but somebody texted in, Dean, we love you. We love the Sunday morning gang. On Thursday, I bought a bag of Lay's limited-time flavored potato chips called Fried Pickles with Ranch Flavor. They are delicious. From Carrie. Thank you, Carrie, for your email. Not sure how you feel about this.
I'm going to go check that out.
Not sure if I... I don't know, fried pickle potato chips?
I'm going to try that. That may be interesting.
Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, along with the gyros nachos.
Gyros. Well, you deserve the fried pickle potato chips then.
Gyros.
Andy, you're moaning a little bit too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like fried pickles. I'm just not sure I want that flavor on my potato chips.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take a hard pass on the fried pickle potato. I'll try it, but it doesn't sound appealing to me.
And also to go along with it, the Lipton onion dip.
The onion dip. Well, I wouldn't put the fried. You would put the fried pickles with the onion dip.
I like interesting flavor combinations.
Oh, I like just a nice classic Ridge.
Oh,
potato chip.
Sure,
a little on the thick side. Maybe kettle fried, so it's nice and crispy. But just a plain potato chip in the Lipton onion dip. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You know what my favorite potato chip is? They make a Maui onion potato chip. I forget what brand it is. But it's onion-flavored potato chips.
Hmm.
Those would be good.
Those are delicious.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. My wife buys at Trader Joe's these tortilla chips that have... They're lightly salted, and they have a little hint of lime in them.
Ooh.
Addicting. My God, are they good.
With or without some sort of accoutrement, an accompaniment.
Even just by themselves.
Just plain.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we put it in our homemade chili, and it's even better.
I was going to say, you know, some salsa with those would be
so good.
Really good.
Look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants, saying accoutrement.
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 You're so fancy.
Accoutrement.
You're a fancy talker, you know that. You are fancy. Super Bowl XXVII. Super Bowl 27, right? Is that right?
That's about right, yeah.
I still don't know why we have to use the Roman numerals. But Michael Jackson did the Super Bowl halftime show January 31st, 1993. This was, remember he was on stage and there were like hundreds of kids on the field dancing and singing along with him. One of the most memorable halftime shows of all time. New Kids on the Block sort of heralded in the rock era, I guess you might say rock or pop era of Super Bowl halftime show. The New Kids on the Block did it in 1991. Which is your favorite New Kid, Schwani?
Well, let's see.
You like them all, don't you?
I do. There's the young boy, Eddie, whose last name is Haskell, I believe. Oh, he has a younger brother that goes by, everybody just calls him Beaver. And then there's this new boy that's
Eddie Haskell has a younger brother.
No, I'm sorry. Wally is it? Yeah, is Wally. There. And then there's this new boy whose father is the sheriff in town. Very, very nice young man who has a name of Opie.
I thought you were going to go Lumpy. If you were on the Leave It to Beaver thread.
Then around the corner, you have Bud Anderson, lives on the next block.
All right,
so, yes, I like all the new kids on the block.
You like all the new kids on the block, yeah, okay. Gloria Estefan did it the year after that.
She's great.
From the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome.
Yep.
So if we get a new stadium for the Bears, we could have a Super Bowl here, right?
Yeah, that would be the plan. Chicago's been missing out on all these big opportunities with the Super Bowl and Final Four.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's build one. We got nothing but money.
Sure. Sure. I'll write a check for
nothing
you.
But spare money hanging around.
Yeah.
Diana Ross, 1996. The Blues Brothers in 1997. Well, not exactly the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd, John Goodman, and Jim Belushi. But ZZ Top performed that year. And James Brown performed that year. Boys to Men, the year after that. Smokey, which are your favorite Boys to Men, Sean?
I like them, too.
Michael Bivins. Come on, go with Michael Bivins.
There you go.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Who was the halftime entertainment when the Bears won in 1986?
Oh, that's an easy one. It was Up With People.
Was it Up With People?
Yes, it was.
Was it really?
It was before the rock era.
Uh-huh. It was before they figured out that they could maximize their audience during halftime.
Yeah, the theme was Beat of the Future.
Yep.
Up With People, doing songs like... Oh, they did a medley of Born in the USA, The Power of Love, I Just Called to Say I Love You, and the theme from Footloose.
Yep.
That rocks.
With like 9 million people on the field.
Yeah, the Up With People crowd. Right.
They were all up. And they certainly were people.
The following year, 1987, the Super Bowl halftime entertainment, the Grambling State University and USC marching bands, but featuring... George Burns and Mickey Rooney.
You've got to be kidding.
Oh, no.
No joke.
No, no.
If you were going to say your favorite halftime show of all time.
Easy for me, because I was there.
The Prince one?
It was Prince.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, that was the absolute best thing about that entire Super Bowl.
Right.
Well, except for the Devin Hester opening kickoff return for a touchdown, but... Dave Enn and I were in the auxiliary media section, which was way up in one of the end zones, and it was raining the entire game. So we were kind of miserable to begin with. But you know, Billy Joel did the national anthem that day, and then Prince put on that performance, which was just remarkable at halftime.
Want to see a performance, go on YouTube and watch Prince do Purple Rain at the Super Bowl that year.
As it's pouring rain.
It's pouring lightning. And he's on stage with all this electronic equipment.
Yeah. And the underrated part of that whole thing was when he was doing Purple Rain, and that was what he did for the finale. But Florida A&M's marching band was on the field as well. And it was so cool to hear their rendition of the harmonies and the musical, the chord changes, which was just awesome.
Yeah, the embellishment to his performances of it all. Amazing. Amazing. What do we remember from the Super Bowl from 2004, Super Bowl 38? Anyone remember?
That would be a wardrobe malfunction.
Wow, look at you.
Yes.
I told you cannot stump him.
Yeah, wardrobe malfunction.
It's you. Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, who caused the wardrobe malfunction.
Yep.
Oh, I had forgotten about some of the other players here. Jessica Simpson, Kid Rock, Nelly, and P. Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's takes on a whole new meaning these days. Stones did it in 2007. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, 2008. Bruce Springsteen, 2009. Who did it last year? I'm trying to remember now.
Ooh,
did I stump Andy?
You may have. Oh, that was Usher. Usher was last year.
Usher was last year. That's right.
Lady Gaga was recently, though.
And Rihanna was the year before
and
that.
Madonna also.
Yeah. Madonna was 2012.
12, okay.
Gaga was 2017. Maroon 5?
Yes, right.
Which is your favorite Maroon 5?
Favorite Maroon 5.
Do you have a favorite Maroon 5?
No.
Shakira and Jennifer Lopez did it in 2020. The Weeknd.
That was an interesting show.
That was right. The guy who is doing it today, Kendrick Lamar, was part of that all-star hip-hop lineup in 2022. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick. And, Kendrick is headlining it today. Rihanna was 2 years ago, and Usher was last year. So.
Now they've ranged the musical gamut, haven't they? I mean, from Up With People to hip-hop to...
It's a long way
everything.
From George Burns to...
Mickey Rooney.
And Carol Channing.
Yeah, I like Kendrick Lamar. He rocks. I like him.
1223 Dean Richards Super Bowl Sunday on WGN. And we're going to do a little Super Bowl appetizer talk on our Food Time show here today. We've been talking about some of the recipes. I did quite a few appetizer recipes on my TV cooking segments this week. We even did a special day where I was doing some cooking on a day that I don't normally cook. Usually my cooking is Wednesdays at about 9:30 in the morning, 9:35 to be exact. But we also did some cooking out at the Jewel Food Store. I was out at the Jewel Food in River Forest on Lake Street Thursday morning. I was out there with Anna Belleval in her Around Town segment, and we were cooking right in the produce section. It was really kind of fun being in the store and doing some cooking. Met a lot of great listeners, a lot of fans of the Sunday morning show, a lot of fans of the TV morning show. Really appreciate all of your support on both. But we did a bunch of dips. I'll share those recipes coming up. But the one I've really been getting a lot of requests for is the Greek nacho recipe that I made, or gyros nachos, either way. I mean, it's nachos using gyros meat. You know, the gyros is what a lot of people call it, but the correct way to pronounce it is gyros, like G-H-E-E, gyros. But it contains all the things that you would put on a gyros sandwich, except it's on a big platter that you put out on your Super Bowl appetizer table. And I used pita chips instead of pita bread. I think it holds up a little better to some of the sauces you've got on there and some of the things like tomatoes and things that would make the bread soggy. The pita chips hold up a little better. They have a little bit of crunch. Plus, you could take a pita chip and kind of scoop it in, you know, into the mixture and, you know, get a bunch of things on the one chip. I think that's what makes it kind of fun. And it tastes just like a gyro sandwich. So you start off with a bag of pita chips. In your frozen food section of your grocery store, almost all stores sell frozen gyros meat. And it couldn't be easier to prepare. I mean, you can follow package directions, but what I did was I simply took the frozen gyros meat out of the plastic pouch, put it in a frying pan, and I sautéed it until it was ready. Browns up, it thaws out. Really, it's already pre-cooked, so it's just a matter of warming it up again. So, you know, you do that and set that aside. And then as toppings, diced tomatoes, diced onion, diced cucumber. I got some sliced Greek olives, the Kalamata olives. And you can make your own Greek yogurt sauce, the tzatziki dip, or you can buy it pre-made. They sell it in grocery stores already pre-made, if that's easier for you. Homemade, of course, is better, but the pre-made is fine as well. So you lay out the bag of potato chips in a serving dish. You sprinkle feta cheese all over it. Crumble, buy some really good quality feta cheese and crumble it yourself. Don't ever buy pre-crumbled cheese. It's loaded with fillers and things. Not as tasty, doesn't melt as well. I like, if you're going to ask me a brand, I get no compensation for this whatsoever. I just like the Dudoni brand of feta cheese. It's in a red, white, and blue container. Dudoni feta cheese. You sprinkle that on there. You sprinkle some mozzarella cheese on there. I know that's not normally on a gyro sandwich, but it melts really great and is fantastic. So you take your chips and your cheeses, pop it in the oven or the broiler for a couple of minutes to get it to melt a little bit. Put the gyros meat on top of all of that. Mix it in a little bit. And then, sprinkle it with the chopped lettuce, with the diced tomatoes, the diced onions, the diced cucumbers, the Kalamata olives, and, arrange it nicely. And then just sprinkle the yogurt and dill sauce. Yogurt, dill, cucumber, garlic, basically, is what tzatziki sauce is. Just, drizzle that over the whole thing, put it out on the table, and it's going to be a big hit. I've been getting nothing but rave reviews when I made it on TV this week. So that recipe, if you want to, look at the actual recipe and the video, by the way, of me making it, we put all those, the recipes and all the videos up at WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. Now, we've been getting a lot of recipe ideas here, and interestingly, somebody texted in and told me that what they love for Super Bowl Sunday is this new potato chip that Lay's has put out, which is a dill pickled flavored potato chip, fried dill pickle potato chip, which I'm going to try it. Just I'll keep an open mind on it. But people have been texting in other chips that they like. Somebody texted in that they tried a sriracha Dorito, and they really liked that. I just love plain Dorito, like regular old school Doritos. I don't like it super hot. I don't like it. I'm not sure if I would like this sriracha. That might be too much for me in my old age, but that does sound good. Dean, are you a sriracha fan?
I was just going to go along with you, what you just said about the old, plain old Doritos.
Delicious.
Definitely. Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Some old school Doritos in an old style. Call it a night.
The whole bag.
The whole bag and as many old styles as
you can. No onion dip needed. Just go through the whole bag.
I'm not sure about the sriracha Dorito, but somebody texted in and said they loved it. Here's another. There is an Asian-flavored potato chip from Lay's, which is also out there. I don't know what that means exactly. What would an Asian flavor?
Oh, a sweet-sour taste, maybe?
Sweet-sour, maybe.
Or along the lines, a little spicier, like a Kung Pao chicken or something like that.
That might not be.
Yeah.
I like that, or just like a, like soy.
Right. Right.
Like a soy flavor on it. That might be good. Somebody's texted in from the 331 area code, bourbon flavored potato chips.
Uh-oh.
Yummy.
Both could be dangerous, yeah, too.
Two for the price of one. Bourbon flavored. I don't know what brand, but I had a really great, fantastic barbecued potato chip. Just like old school barbecued potato chips.
Sure.
And I'm not a like a potato chip snob. I'm perfectly fine with Jay's potato chips or, you know, like Frito-Lay, like, you know, the regular brands. I do like a Ripple. I like a potato chip that's a little thicker than usual.
You mean the Ruffles?
Ruffles.
Yeah.
Ruffles have
ridges.
Well, look at this. We're talking potato chips and we're supposed to be doing the news.
I know.
That's why you chimed. Is that why you chimed in?
Kind of,
to nudge me along? Consider me nudged. It is the music, of course, of the great Sarah Bareilles. She's the one that gives us the music to the musical that's about to open at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, Waitress, the Chicago area premiere of the show. We're going to go out there for one of our Dean's Night Out to see the show with you. Got a chance for you to be one of 10 winners to get 2 tickets to join me, not only for a little meet and greet before the show, a little pre-show reception, but also to stay and enjoy the performance on February 23rd. So hopefully you can enter that and be one of our winners. The show nominated for 4 Tony Awards based on the 2007 film by the same name. Waitress Jenna looks to bake her way out of her troubles and find ingredients for her own happiness. Waitress, the Chicago regional premiere, is going to be at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. And we would love for you to join us for our next Dean's Night Out. You go to WGNradio.com/contests in order to enter this. To qualify to win, WGNradio.com/contest. The sweepstakes will end on February 16th. So, all right, there you go. So, boy, we've got a lot of potato chip talk going on our text line here today. Somebody texted in a favorite potato chip flavor, fried pickles, which now I'm kind of curious about it. It doesn't sound good to me, but I'm going to give it a try. I am going to give it a try. But since then, so, you know, people have been saying you got to try the Asian chips. 224 area code says it is ginger and sesame flavored, just like the bottled sauce. Now, that sounds kind of delicious to me, a ginger and sesame flavored potato chip. 630 area code, last year I found tangy tamarind Doritos at a Marathon gas station in Indianapolis. Some of these flavors are imports, which other countries sell. I love the tamarind-flavored Doritos. That sounds good. I hope I don't have to drive to Indianapolis to get those. I hope I can find them someplace here. I mentioned to Shwani that I am not a potato chip snob, that I'm perfectly happy with a nice Jay's potato chip. I like the Ripple. I like the Ripple better than the regular. I like the kettle fried. Those are nice. Crispier the better is really what I like. But I like a little, thickness to it, so I can dip it in the Lipton onion soup dip. That's so delicious. But here's somebody saying, 630, Dean, you got to try Utz Ripples. Is that how you say it? Is it Utz or Utz? U-T-Z Ripples? That they're really good? All right, I'll give those a try. And 815 area code said Zapp's Voodoo Chips are fantastic. And apparently it's like a Cajun New Orleans flavor? It says in honor of New Orleans, you got to have the Voodoo Chips. Well, that makes sense for today, right? Since the Super Bowl is in New Orleans itself. Here is somebody saying that they were in Greece recently. And they tried oregano-flavored potato chips. We also saw prawn-flavored potato chips. Yeah, maybe the... I like Greek-style potatoes, so I guess I would like the oregano-flavored potato chips. Willing to try that. Prawn-flavored? I would have to... I would have to do a little taste test on that. That one's not going nuts with me. Talking Super Bowl appetizers here today, I gave you my recipe for the Greek nachos, the gyros nachos, which you can get. You can get all my recipes and the videos that I do for my TV cooking segment at WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. That's where we keep all the recipes and all the videos. That's where you can also sign up to get the recipes. We send them out automatically when you text the word cooks to 97999. Get on your phone, go to where you would send a text message, but you in the message area, you write the word cooks, and for the address, you just put 97999, and it'll come to us. We'll put you on the list, and then whenever I cook something on TV, it'll just automatically send you the recipe. So text the word cooks to 97999, or go to WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. All right. Well, here is interesting. Wow, who knew that this was going to be the potato chips were going to be a big topic here today on our phone line. From the 630 area code, we sell crab flavored chips from Latvia at our store, Olive and Vinny's in Glen Ellen, and they are delicious. All right. Got to try the, you know, I got to try these. I'm not imagining these. Chicken soy chips from New Zealand, says the 714 area code. Here is 815 area code. In Puerto Rico, Frito-Lay's has a mofongo-flavored potato chips. Mofongo is a plantain-based dish. It's kind of a dip. But I guess it would be like, plantain is almost like a fried banana. But mofongo has lots of other spices and things in it. So I guess there are lots of ethnic and regional, you know, kind of flavors. Here is the 331 area code. Frito scoops are great with an onion dip. That I agree with. Frito scoops is a great invention. Very much like my bugles that I like because you can scoop up a whole lot of dip inside of it. Here's one saying, try caramelized onion dip, homemade. I do like caramelized onion dip, but I, as I say, I'm not a snob. And that Lipton-flavored onion soup mix that you make into a dip, mighty delicious. 630 area code. I can't believe all the potato chip messages we're getting. 630 area code. Dean, try Great Lakes potato chips. They are made in northern Michigan. The potatoes are not peeled, so they have a very potato-y flavor. And I get them at Pete's Market. I love Pete's Market. They have a lot of stuff that you can't find in a lot of stores. Thank you, Jody, who sent that in. Jody and Glen Ellen, appreciate that. And I want to get to a couple of other dips that I made. And you know what I would love? I would love to open up our phone lines for any, you know, you have a great Super Bowl appetizer recipe that somebody can throw together pretty quick this afternoon. I would love to hear some of your recipes. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. As a matter of fact, we've got some special things to give away. If you've got a fantastic recipe, I've got something special to give to you in return for that. How about that? But in the meantime, let me tell you about one of the things that I made when I was out cooking at the Jewel Food Store in River Forest on Lake Street. I'm told it's the busiest Jewel food store of all the Jewels in the Chicago area. It's a spectacular store. They have variety like I haven't seen in a Jewel before. It is a really nice store. But I was out there cooking with Annabella Val this past Thursday. And one of the things I made was a tomato and avocado bruschetta. All right. So you take, 3-4 Roma tomatoes. and dice them up pretty good because you're going to use them as bruschetta, right? You take a couple, two, three avocados, scoop them out, get the pit out, mash them up really good. Put some lime juice in with it as well, and some salt and pepper in the avocados. Set that aside. But in the tomato mixture, you're going to put a little salt and pepper. You're going to put a little balsamic vinegar, and you're going to put some chopped basil, fresh chopped basil. And then take your, you know, take the French bread, you know, like the bruschetta bread, toast it, rub some garlic on it, put some olive oil on it, and toast it up, broil it, you know, get it on the crispy side. By the way, they also sell chips that you can do this with if you don't want to do the whole bread thing. But what you're going to want to do is mix the tomato mixture with the avocado mixture. Mix all that together. Put the avocado on the bread and then top it with the tomato mixture and serve it. It's not a traditional bruschetta, which is just tomato. This has avocado and the tomato mixture, and it's not guacamole. You know, it's nice to have something avocado that's not guacamole for a change, right? You can see the recipe for this, as I said before, 312-981. No, I'm sorry. The recipes are WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. If you want to see the recipe for the smashed tomato and avocado bruschetta, super delicious. I also made a Puerto Rican signature dish, sofrito. I made it in honor of Anabel Laval, who you may know is from Puerto Rico. And it is cilantro. It is one red bell pepper, one green pepper, all chopped up and, you know, pretty fine. And some salt and pepper, some olive oil, all goes into a food processor or a blender until it's super, super, super smooth. Just process the heck out of it. And then you can use it as a dip, fantastic, with some nice tortilla chips. Or, as Anna told me, in Puerto Rico, it's used as an ingredient in other dishes. So what I did was I broiled some chicken tenders and put the sofrito on top of it, this mixture of peppers and cilantro, and it was spectacular. It was really, really tasty. Got the recipe posted, WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. 12:53, Dean Richards Food Time. Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, the award-winning All Things Edible program, talking Super Bowl appetizers today. Here's the 847 area code. I fill bugles with sriracha sauce. Ooh, that sounds good. 815 area code. Dean, bugles and pimento cheese spread are delicious. Oh my gosh, I love pimento cheese spread. The traditional southern style, but my grandmother, somebody tell me why my Greek grandmother, who pretty much only made Greek food, came up with an American dip which was served at every family function. It was, she called it a pimento cheese dip. It was cream cheese, chopped olives, and pecans or walnuts, chopped pecans or walnuts. And she would, you know, mix it all together, form it into a ball, and serve it with Ritz crackers. I've got the recipe for that up on our TV cooking spot on the web also, WGNTV.com/DeanCooks, Yaya's pimento cheese ball. It is delicious if you like olives, because you take the Spanish olives that have the pimento in them and chop them up real good, mix it with a bar of cream cheese, and then, you know, put some nuts in it, top it with nuts, form it into a ball, wrap it in, you know, a plastic wrap, put it into a ball and refrigerate it for, you know, so it hardens up a little bit. It's a fantastic dip. This is Peg with a Potato chip. Welcome to potato chip talk, Peg.
Yeah, it's a potato chip day.
Yeah.
I grew up in Havana, Illinois, and in Farmington, Illinois, they made this potato chip called Kitchen Cooked.
Yeah.
I think you can still get them online, but they're just great. They're thick, and they could really handle dip. And we would eat them with Prairie Farms French onion dip.
Oh, that's
every time we went home, we got it again. So it's really good.
It's just a plain potato chip, but a really delicious one.
Yep, it's not a ripple. It's just the plain one.
Just the plain one that's a little on the thick side. Oh, that sounds good.
Yep.
Tell me the name. Awesome. Tell me the name again.
Kitchen Cooked.
Kitchen Cooked. All right.
And they're from Havana, Farmington, Illinois. Farmington. I think you can get them online.
Okay. As you can see, I'm going to have to do a lot of potato chip research in the coming.
Yeah, you got a lot to taste.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it, right?
Exactly.
Have a great day today, Peg. Thank you for the call.
Dean. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. 312-981-7200. Here's the 224 area code. Well, this is perfect with the Chiefs playing today. It says, Dean, I make what's called a Kansas City dip that we used to use in Kansas City years ago and still do today. It's one tube of pork sausage, one tube of hot pork sausage, four cream cheese packages. Wow, that's a lot of cream cheese. Two cans of Rotel, and you mix it all together. Oh, and put it in a crock pot. That makes sense. And then let it cook on high for 3 hours, stirring it constantly. It comes out great. And then you can put your scoops, Tostitos scoops out. That sounds really good. The pork sausage, the hot sausage, the cream cheese, the Rotel gives it a little bite. And you warm it up in a crock pot. Randy from St. Charles. Thank you, Randy. How easy could that be? You could still... run to the grocery store. In 10 minutes, you got that cooking. And you'll be all ready. You know, it's 1 o'clock now. The game doesn't start till, 5:30, something like that? Plenty of time to get that up and cooking, for game time. Here is the 815 area code that says, is this food segment the yang to the yin of your medical segment? It seems like there's a great deal of ultra-processed food being recommended. Well, I'll tell you what, not only a great deal of ultra-processed food, but the sodium level for a radio segment is off the charts. Yeah, I'm telling you, this practically everything that we've talked about, pretty unhealthy. Loaded with sodium, loaded with things that are bad for you. But come on, it's Super Bowl Sunday, right? Going to deny people Super Bowl Sunday. Here is the 847 area code. I love original Pringles and cheddar Pringles. The Evanston Jewel at Howard and Kedzie, been there many times, is affectionately known as the Kosher Jewel. I go there often as the Skokie Jewel. Doesn't have the variety and selection my local Jewel did. Kosher Jewel has a wide selection of kosher stuff, kosher deli section, kosher bakery, a long line of kosher frozen and refrigerated items, and a lot of wide variety kosher meats. I've also seen Green River Pop there. You had me a Green River Pop. Oh, that sounds good. Just one more here. Cream cheese with hot pepper jelly and Ritz crackers. Yeah. Yeah, baby. Steve Dale is coming up next. I'll see you tomorrow morning on Bob Surratt Show between 8 and 8:30. We'll talk entertainment. We'll recap all the Super Bowl entertainment. And, of course, on the WGN TV morning news Monday through Friday as well. We'll recap all the Super Bowl fun there as well. I hope you all have a great Super Bowl.